This is Sci-Fi Tech Talk.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Tech Talk, the podcast where we explore the technology of sci-fi. I'm Mike McPeak, and with me today is Julie Keel.
Hello.
And Jeff is kind of, I don't know, AOL right now, but we'll go on without him. So, and today we're going to do Apollo 18, and we'll start with the synopsis. Officially, Apollo 17 launched December 17, 1972, and was the last manned mission to the moon. But a year later, in December of 1973, two American astronauts were sent on a secret mission to the moon, funded by the U.S. Department of Defense. What you are about to see is the actual footage which the astronauts captured on their mission. While NASA denies its authenticity, others say it's the real reason we've never been back to the moon. Houston, we have a problem. Actually, that's Apollo 13, but I wanted to mention that we accidentally get our dates sometimes timed right. And yesterday, as of the day we're recording this, was the 45th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 13, which was the beginning of our flights to the moon. And Apollo 18 is supposedly supposed to be the last manned flight to the moon.
Yeah, this movie has the Blair Witch hallmark to it, the whole present it as if it's real, kind of do it the news story-ish way, and it's.
Well, the whole found footage and the shaky cam or whatever you want to call it, news footage, man on the scene type, or not man on the scene, but yeah.
And when we were picking this out last week, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago, because it was my bad that we didn't get recording last week, but the genre for this particular movie isn't as much science fiction as it is horror, and I'm like, oh joy, I'm not a big horror movie fan. Used to be, but kind of got over it. I don't even know how this got tagged with horror.
Yeah, because I wasn't really horrified very often, but the only time I jumped a little bit was when they were leaning down to look at the guy, and then he kind of opened his eyes and shot up at you, and then that and one other time I did actually jump, but I think the times when I was supposed to have jumped, when the little, I don't know what you want to call them, creatures?
Yeah.
Were running around, no, didn't do a lot for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so. No. For those who have not seen the movie, and I'm not so certain that you should spend an hour and a half of your life watching this one, it basically says that these two astronauts, well, three, there's one in the orbiter, the lunar orbiter, then there's two in the module that lands on the surface, are sent up there to investigate something, and they actually run across a Russian lunar module, and then they run across two dead cosmonauts, and then they get infected with, I don't know, cockroaches or some darn thing, and then they, die on the moon, basically, blah, blah, blah. There were so many things wrong with this show.
It wasn't
horrible.
No, I didn't mind watching it, but it was just kind of... Yeah, plot holes. You could fly a lunar module through it, or maybe not plot holes, but just the plausibility of inanimate, or not inanimate, inorganic life forms living on the moon.
Yeah, basically the punchline for this was that all those lunar rocks that we brought back are alive and deadly, whatever. But it's the one thing that bothered me the absolute most was the last man standing on the moon was whining and bitching about, you can't leave us behind here, you've got to come get me. It's like, are you an astronaut or aren't you? I mean, you did not get into the program unless you knew the risks and you knew the fact that you may have to, be sacrificed under certain circumstances, and you should not be pissed. And that's part of the deal. I'm sorry. So the idea that you did not expect that or did not see that coming is bullshit. I'm sorry. There's
well,
an explicit tag for the week, right?
Right. And then and NASA denies it, but supposedly the astronauts were supposed to have had cyanide pills.
Right.
if they get into a situation. So they've been briefed on that kind of stuff and what to do. And then you were talking about, they were prepared to be to be left on the moon, for those kind of things to happen. And at about the 52-minute mark of the movie, Commander Walker's mental condition worsens. He mutters, "Fate has ordained the men who went to the moon to explore in peace remain on the moon to rest in peace." That line was taken from the contingency speech if Apollo 11 didn't go right and they weren't able to get off the moon. So they actually lifted that speech from this one that Nixon had ready to go in case things went south.
I'm glad you dug that out, because that did sound familiar to me. I mean, it was obviously a scripted line, and more than just a movie script. I mean, like a politician's speech script or a NASA administrator's script. So I'm glad you dug that out. That one, it's a nice line. I mean, it's a great line. Yeah.
Well, it's probably one of the better lines of the movie, because, none of the rest of the dialogue really stuck out at me that much.
No.
So,
no.
It's real easy to trash this movie, and it wasn't terrible, I guess.
No,
it just,
but compared to The Martian, we just got done reading the book The Martian, which was fabulous, and talked about, in great detail, the struggle of survival and the overcoming the odds and, the mindset and the toughness and the humor that was required to survive that situation. And then you land with Apollo 18 here, and it's like, eh.
Well, it's kind of...
not compare.
Well, it's science fiction done by Hollywood, basically.
Yeah. Even Hollywood. I mean, like, Hollywood the magazine, like sensationalist,
right?
Hollywood.
Yeah, that kind of... go for the emotional moment or whatever.
Go for the cheap headline, the sound bite, and not the story.
Yeah, because, like you say, these guys, and I guess I didn't think about it much at the time, but now that you mention it, these guys weren't always acting real astronaut-y,
no.
If you know what I mean. They were just kind of like, breaking down and... those guys have been trained to, people are always going to be emotional, but they've been trained.
You can have breakdowns. Totally understand that, but that is not what was portrayed in the movie. What was portrayed in the movie looked more like, cousins out on a hunting trip, with family baggage.
So Deliverance gone to the moon?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Because the training that these guys go through, they're going to weed out the people who would crack too easily. I'm not saying, everyone will eventually crack at some point, but
right.
These guys have been tested. Their mettle has been tested. And so it's going to take something, pretty extreme for them to lose it.
And there's nothing that extreme in this movie. Nothing. I mean, Alien is extreme. Apollo 18 is like your run-of-the-mill biological... encounter that with something that we haven't seen before. I mean, Ebola. I mean, crap. Ebola is worse than this portrayed in Apollo 18. So whatever. So again, it's not necessarily a horrible film, and the premise isn't horrible either. The idea that people, astronauts went to the moon and encountered a life form that wasn't anticipated and killed them up there. Okay, interesting potential story. I guess how it was told and how it was portrayed was, phoning it in.
Well, we've always kind of had a fascination with, the moon, and I guess this wasn't the dark side of the moon, but we've always had a fascination with things up there, because I've been trying for years to remember. I seem to remember watching some movie, I think, about the moon. It was back in the 70s, so it was, that run of science fiction stuff. And there was some scene in there where there was astronauts and a big mouse trap, and for the life of me, I wished I could remember what that movie was. Just like I said, if anybody out there has any inkling into what I'm talking about, you know, write us a sci-fi tech talk and tell me I'm not crazy. I might be, but, you know.
Well, you're crazy. That's
okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Right, right.
Just get beyond that and give us the answer.
Sure, right. Yeah, but, you know, we've always had this kind of fascination about, you know, basically space boogeymen, I guess you could call it, and what's hiding out there. And, you know, because, you know, the thing about space is it is a big, vast open area with things. We're still discovering a lot of stuff. As much, you know, hubris as we want to think that, you know, science has all the answers, we don't even have all the questions yet. Yeah, we don't even have all the questions to have all the answers yet. So,
yeah.
And that's an easy thing to, you know, like I say, space boogeymen, and just, you know, let's have something that we're not familiar with come in here and, you know, invade us and or you know, torture us or something.
You know, that kind of is the two, well, there's more tropes, I guess you could call it, in science fiction than that. But, you know, obviously there's like the utopian trope, which Star Trek, again, is always the great example of how we're going to, things are going to be better in the future. We have hope and potential that we need to live up to. And then there's the other side, you know, there's the dystopian stuff. But as one of the subgenres of the dystopian side is this whole alien boogeyman, as you describe them, or, you know, whether it's H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds or Alien or, you know, Predator or, oh gosh, go on and on, where we run into something that we've never run into before and we don't really know how to deal with it, and it's, you know, essentially wipes us out. I mean, we just watched that Tom Cruise one too that was like that, where obliterated planet Earth. I've been catching up with The Walking Dead, talking about, you know, things that obliterate planet Earth. So it's a very common trope, I guess, or story archetype in science fiction, and how it's done is what makes one story better than the other.
Well, I think, you know, mankind's been, I don't know about fascinated, maybe preoccupied, for centuries with the idea that we're one cataclysm away from, you know, extinction, going, you know, all the way back to the Bible and things like that. It's something that's always on our mind. And, you know, now that we know more about space and we realize the potential fragility of the planet that we live on here, it's even easier to concoct these scenarios that'll scare the living crap out of us.
You know, it's interesting that you're right, that we have had this, you know, one massive event that wipes us out as part of our history, or is our psyche,
I would say.
Yeah, forever. Which is interesting because it's only really been a reality since like 1940s. I mean, the atom bomb and the nuclear Cold War made that a real possibility.
That we could do it ourselves.
That we could do it ourselves, yeah.
Right. But, I mean, there's always been, you know, because, you know, in the Bible, it's Armageddon. I think other cultures have.
Well, yeah, the flood even, you know.
The flood. But, I mean, you know, we just, it's kind of ingrained in us about to be prepared for that, you know, ultimate, you know, disaster. And like I say, once we got into space and we realized all the stuff that really could, you would have thought going out there would have, you know, made us smarter about things. But now we discover, you know, asteroids and comets and, you know, all this other stuff that could, is just waiting there to kill us.
And you know what? With all of these things out there waiting to kill us, we've never been really killed off. I mean, we've even survived the Black Plague. We've survived, you know, SARS and H1N1, and heck, the turkeys are going down in Minnesota left, right, and center right now. But somehow we always survive. And that's, you know, that's kind of the underlying part of the trope, too. Alien would be probably the best example of that, or The Thing, where, you know, you fight this unknown beast that nobody's ever seen before and nobody knows how to fight, and it always comes down to fire, right? Always fire. Anyway, but somehow we survive. And so, you know, the fact that we can rise up to whatever horrors, I suppose, we're presented with, is part of the human psyche as well. And for good reason. I mean, I'll pull a line out of Game of Thrones, which is kicking off tonight. You know, the night is dark and full of terrors, and we've been, for, you know, millennia, dealing with, you know, dark nights, and it is full of terrors on occasion, and getting through that and surviving, seriously, literally surviving, kind of proves that, you know, whatever challenges we might come up with, that somehow we do make it through.
Well, yeah, and you know, the thing is, these guys never had a chance to survive because I think it was predetermined that they were not coming back.
No, you got that impression throughout the whole movie that they were just thrown up there to be eaten alive. I mean, literally, to some extent. Compare this with Gravity, too. I mean, Gravity was another case of, you know, astronaut disaster. And Gravity, the difference between the take on Gravity and Apollo 18 was Gravity was that the astronauts used every bit of human ingenuity, kind of like the Martian, every bit of human ingenuity possible to make it through that situation. Apollo 18 took it, and like you were saying, was kind of preordained that these guys were going up there to check it out and verify this, and everybody behind the mission knew what the outcome was going to be. They just kind of threw fresh meat up there. And I don't even know what they learned in the process. I really don't. I mean, what the hell is the purpose of doing that?
Outside of confirming, I suppose, that there's a little, space cockroaches or whatever you want to call them up there. And couldn't they have done, well, I don't know. I guess they've had probes going up there for years before they sent men to the moon, and they weren't able to discover it. Then the question, okay, this is a movie, probably shouldn't apply logic to it, but I'm going to anyway. You had how many from Apollo 11 up to Apollo 17, and take out Apollo 13 because of its problems that it had. So how many flights is that, or how many manned missions did you have on the moon, and nobody noticed anything until all of a sudden they woke up? Or
very last mission.
It makes no sense. I mean, I guess you would have thought they would have they should have come to life before then. They should have noticed it before then.
And to some extent, the movie kind of portrays the fact that there were Russians that were up there that got wiped out. And so all the Americans had all the successful ones, and then the Russians go up there one time and get wiped out. And so then we send up this final mission to go essentially to verify what was going on up there, you could argue, where you sacrifice these, you know, fresh meat and whatever. So yeah, that whole twist to it, I suppose you could say, about, you know, it was Russian cosmonauts that had died on the moon first and nobody even knew they were up there and all that kind of stuff. That's when it started getting, for about the first hour, it was like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, I wonder where this is going. And then it runs into the Russian cosmonauts, and then you find out that, you know, they've been dead of some sort of thing that we can't explain, and it's like, oh, okay. Where's this going? Nowhere. Fine. Okay. So.
Well, and they didn't even trot out. I guess it doesn't need to be trotted out all the time, but the whole thing about, you know, this is the 70s, the tension between the United States and the USSR, as it was at that time, was pretty high. So there wasn't going to be a lot of communication, and the Russians were, probably miffed about they weren't the first ones to get to the moon, so they're not going to share a lot of information with us.
I think if the Russians had made the moon, they would have made the whole freaking world know that.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. That would have been a bragging point for them. They probably didn't want to say anything until they got there, and then, you know, their crew got killed or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then maybe they weren't going to say anything about it because it would look like a black mark. But then, you know, they always refer to the astronauts as the best and the brightest. So what do? They send three of the best and the brightest up there to get killed. It really kind of makes a mockery of sorts of the whole, you know, astronaut program or whatever, that you guys are just expendable.
You know, maybe that's what it boiled down to for me. The reason I'm kind of down on this movie is not that the movie's so bad, but it kind of portrayed NASA and astronauts as being, subversive and stupid and, you know, willing to throw away human lives like that. And I'm like, no. So.
Well, it was the DOD, Department of Defense, is the ones that was behind it. But you would still think that NASA would have grown a pair and said no.
Yeah.
Something.
You know, just, I mean, how do you hide I know they do it now. I mean, I know as we speak, there are launches into space that are, you know, not publicly disseminated. I get that. But you don't just fire up a manned mission to the moon without, you know, the public knowing about it. And the minute the public knows about it, you can't do what this movie portrays happened. You just can't.
Well, they sort of covered their tracks a bit.
Oh, yeah,
because
training missions, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, then the fact too that you know, as far as procuring the stuff that they needed to go there, they had basically the parts left over to build one, so they wouldn't have to requisition the money. They had the stuff there, so trying to explain to Congress why they needed money for this one more mission without explaining what the mission was, you know, that seemed to work out okay, and I think I'm not a historian, but I think is reasonably accurate. That there was because they just decided to scrap the program, the Apollo program, because I think they were going to have like three more after that. And when they got to Apollo 17, they just said, no, that's enough. It's costing too much. But they had the parts on hand for that. But so, you know, as far as having the material to pull it off, that makes sense. But still, it costs how much money to train these people, outfit them, send them to the moon. And you're going to do that on knowing it's going to be a one-way mission. That financially just didn't make a lot of sense either. So,
yeah, it's again. The movie itself, how it was. Am I wrong? Why am I afraid? It's been a week or two, I guess, since I've actually seen it. Was it all black and white? I mean,
in spots.
Black and white. Yeah.
In spots, I think it was a muted color.
Yeah, it was very gray.
Right.
So you know that alone. It just makes you gray.
Well, and I think part
of it.
Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, it affects your mood.
Yeah.
Well, I think they were using, I can't remember the name of the cameras. Was it Honeywell cameras? No. Anyway, it was the cameras that I think they used to go to the moon, I think is what they used to film at least parts of it, maybe all of it. Or they tried to make it look like those kind of cameras. And those cameras back then, yeah, they were kind of grainy. They were kind of, yeah, they didn't have vibrant colors.
Yeah, like Super 8 type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that I don't think there's anything wrong with the actual filmmaking, and there may not even be anything wrong with the story and the plot line, except that for me the story is, like you're saying, so out of character, I guess, for NASA and astronauts and human beings, that it just kind of fell flat for me.
Well, it was good up to the point, and maybe it's just because it was another space mission, and you know, and I remember, you know, when men first landed on the moon. I watched it, and my mom made a big old scrapbook with newspaper clippings about all of that, and I think it's probably disintegrated by now, but I used to have that for years, and so for me, the moon mission was a, you know, really big thing, and because I was only, let's see, was it 69 they landed on the moon, so I would have been about 7 years old, but I was sitting there in front of a black and white TV, big old console TV, watching them land on the moon and Walter Cronkite, you know, and the whole, you know, and all that stuff is kind of seared into my memory. And so to watch this movie and watch another, you know, space mission. And I think I'm not, you know, certainly not an expert in this, but it seemed up to that point, the mission itself seemed realistic enough. It didn't seem like there's anything too fanciful in there. So for me, it was kind of a nostalgia thing up to that point.
Yeah, I could see that, where the actual, you know, mission was realistic. I mean, it was believable, I guess, until they found the Russian cosmonauts and
right.
creatures and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, which, you know, honestly, that's plausible, too. I mean, that is the risk of going out where we'd never been before. We don't know what we're going to run into. We're going to... You know, it's extremely possible that we could find something like this that would just, you know, kill all of us. Whether it's a creature. I mean, the creature thing is so strange. I mean, to me, the best, you know, alien encounter horror story is still War of the Worlds, where germs, you know, these Martians come and then they get wiped out by germs. And I think that's just absolutely brilliant, because we're so used to them, we don't even... They just don't even register for us, whereas to an alien life form, they wound up being deadly. Well, on the flip side, you know, if we're going out somewhere and run into an alien place, we'd probably get killed off by something we don't recognize as being a threat, like the rocks on the moon. So, you know, that part of it's got some validity to it, I think.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I think, you know, again, it kind of goes out to, there's lots of things we haven't discovered, and we'll probably discover, you know, forms of life that are different than ours. There may be, you know, corporeal life forms out there that are composed of energy or, you know, something like that. So we haven't, you know, probably discovered everything that there is to discover out there, but I don't know. I'm still having my hard time wrapping my head around. They can be a rock, and then they can be a, you know, a creature, and just the fact that you could not see any evidence for all the times that we've been to the moon that nobody noticed anything.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, think about some of the creatures we have on this planet. That's entirely possible. You've got what, cicadas are dormant for 17 years. You've got walking sticks that, you know, if they're not walking, they really do look like sticks. And, you know, there's all kinds of things where I think it would be easy to overlook the fact that something is not what it seems. But I also know that, you know, when you're talking about lunar rocks, we studied the hell out of those, you know, busted them up and ground them down and microscoped them and, you know, whatever. They were pretty thoroughly researched, not to mention quarantined and whatever. So, yeah, I you know, nothing's impossible. I'll put it that way. I mean, I'll grant you that. Nothing's impossible.
Maybe if they would have thrown, I always say sometimes they're better off to leave facts out of a movie sometime, but if they would have thrown them in and said something about, you know, in this one isolated area or something like that, try to narrow it down instead of, because the way they just came off sounding like the whole moon was infested with these things. Well, the thing was, you know, when their flag got stolen, they went outside and they saw non-human footprints out there.
Yeah, and what's up with that? I mean, that was bizarre. I mean, that didn't even fit, okay? That just didn't even fit.
Well, and to the point I'm trying to get to, I guess, is the fact that if they'd been on the moon for years and people landed on the moon, there's no air to move the dust around, and unless you have a, you know, meteor impact that will stir up dust. Any mark made there on the moon should stay there for quite a long time. So with all these missions up there, somebody didn't look down and go, hey, what's that funny little track? You know, because even somebody who, you know, it's not raised in the country could eventually see something that looks like tracks or, you know, a trail or something like that. So you would have thought they would have, even the inobservant observer would have noticed that there's these tracks there and what, you know, what's up with this stuff. It just, that part just didn't ring true for me.
Well, now that I think about it, were those tracks perhaps from the cosmonauts?
No, because there were some, like, they looked like little, like you took a stick and drug them through the through the dirt.
Okay. Because there were actual, like, what we could call human footprint tracks, and then there were what you could call a snake trail track.
Right.
You know, where they're, the S curves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that kind of thing, and you would have thought that somebody would go, what, you know, could have caused this little track in the ground, so.
Right.
I guess I don't need to belabor the point anymore, but just kind of, there's a few things that just kind of struck me as, and again, you know, I've always said that, don't apply too much critical thinking to some movies and enjoy it. But this one is just, the ending fell flat.
Yeah, the ending especially fell flat. I mean, between Gravity and The Martian, where the endings did not fall flat, this one, it's like, they went to the moon, they got infested with these alien thingies, and then they died. The end. Movie synopsis right there, you know?
Yeah, no chances for survival, yeah. Fighting here.
No,
it's fighting, just like,
no rescue attempt, no big sob story, no heroic battle to the very end. Just, you know, it's just like, what?
Well, and then and it's been, yeah, a few. Well, I watched it last Tuesday, I guess, so it's almost a week. I'm blanking out on the movie. The one guy died on the planet. The other guy was able to get into space. But how did those last two die?
Well, the one guy died on the two died on the there were two on the planet and one in the orbiter.
Well, I thought the one guy made it into space in the Russian module. Didn't he get into space?
No, see, I think we're meshing it together with the Martian. I thought he just died on the planet, on the moon.
Okay. I don't know if I want to rent it again to watch it. But,
I know.
Maybe I'll just have to see if I can find something out there. Because, well, then what the guy in the lunar module, then what, how did he die then?
He died from a creature, too. He died early because of the creature.
Yeah, but the one encircling the Earth or circling the moon?
Oh, the one up in the orbiter.
Orbiter. Because they all died.
That wasn't clear to me, to be honest, because he wasn't infected, but he was also abandoned.
I think they cut off telemetry for so that he wouldn't be able to...
Yeah, he couldn't go rescue them.
Well, and I think, too, as far as returning, I think they were just going to turn off his ship's computers or something, or not give him telemetry information so he couldn't calculate a return flight to Earth.
Yeah, I
so
got the impression he was just abandoned.
Right. Yeah, and the other guy, I'm trying to think now. I know he made it into the capsule, and I thought he was launching it. I think he got up. No, I think he got it in space, and I think he realized that he was infected too. And so he didn't.
Yeah, okay. Now it's coming back to me. Yeah, right. I think he did, because I think there was the very end where it was like, do not capture the module.
Right.
You have to let him go.
Right. Yeah, because I think he was radioing the guy, because I think he was going to do like a spacewalk over to the module. But then I think he realized that he was infected. And I can't remember if he told him not to do it or just let him go or whatever. But I think he did make it in the space. And then the other guy, I think, was just left to basically starve to death, or if he wanted to take the simple solution, to end it all, that was up to him. But he was not coming back to Earth. And then they concocted all these stories about how they were killed in training missions or something over Earth.
Bodies never recovered.
Yeah, imagine how that works. So.
Yeah, well, it does happen. I get that, but...
Yeah. We actually talk about tech in this show once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like I say, it was kind of nice to see the lunar modules and that kind of stuff and the spacesuits that they had. Again, for me, it was kind of, the whole nostalgia thing, because there's just something about that seeing an astronaut suit like that is just it takes me back to my childhood and landing on the moon, that kind of stuff. It gives me that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling.
Right.
And then the other thing is, too, that, they always make a deal about the phone that we have in our pocket is more powerful than the computer that sent the men to the moon.
Yeah, have you ever seen those modules? Oh my God, the Apollo lunar modules. I've seen them in like the Air and Space Museum. I would not get in that thing to, drive down the driveway. They are truly tin cans. Your car is built better than those lunar modules. And the fact that they actually, put their lives in those things and, out in space, are you kidding me? Obviously it worked. Okay, just to clear up our mass confusion about how this movie ends, because it's been like 2 weeks and it's too similar to too many other things we've talked about lately. At the very end, one of the guys launches the lander successfully with the intent of arriving near Freedom, which is the orbiter, and entering it via spacewalk. The guy on the orbiter is informed that the guy on the incoming lander is infected and is ordered to abort the rescue or communication will be ceased, rendering him unable to return to Earth. Inside the lander, the reduced gravity causes the small rocks within the Soviet craft to float. The guy realizes with horror that some of the rocks are actually alien creatures. He's attacked and infected by the creatures, preventing him from controlling the vehicle, leaving it headed toward the orbiter. the guy in the orbiter yells that he's coming too fast, and that's the footage ends and implies that they collided up there.
Okay.
So, yeah, that does ring a bell, but it also rings a bell with the Martian. That's why I was so confused.
Yeah, they're mid-space transfer.
Right.
The parachute and the whole, yeah.
Yeah, the spacewalk between vehicles at, you know, massively speeds and whatever. So, yeah, okay. But, yeah.
And I found the information I was looking for about the computer, the Apollo guidance computer. It had 64 kilobits of memory.
Which was more than anybody could ever possibly need, right?
Sure. Yeah. That's kilobits. That's with a K, kids.
Yeah.
And then it operated at 0.043 megahertz. I'm trying to remember what my first computer I had at home, I think, at least operated at maybe a megahertz.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's a long ways. Because even like you start getting the 286s and those, they were like 30 megahertz or something like that. So, I mean, I think probably the watch on my hand or on my arm here probably has more processing power than that thing did. And, you know, all it had to do was they had sort of a basic, I don't want to say basic, not basic language, but they had a very primitive language that they could use to program things into it. I think they had like a set of symbols or something like that that would mean certain things, and that's how they would program things into it. But it didn't have to do a lot, but still, you think about all the stuff it had to control, the massive size and the just millions of miles that it had to travel, and all with something that I'm pretty sure the watches, digital watches we have at least that much horsepower.
On the weekend launch of the Apple Watch, yeah, without
sure.
a doubt. So yes, the Apple Watch has more power than the lunar module. So yeah. Yeah, no, this movie is, you know, it's not horrible. It's not Starship Troopers, okay? But it's it does leave you a little flat, and the premise of it is so kind of bogus that it just kind of doesn't catch you, and yeah, it's just flat.
Yeah, you don't get invested in the movie.
No.
I mean, you are kind of rooting for the guys, but
not really, because it doesn't take long before you just realize they're meat, you know.
Right.
So it's like it early on in the show, you realize this is not going to have a happy ending. So you just, I never got attached to any of the characters in it. It's like, yeah, the question is not if they'll die. The question is how they'll die.
Yeah, same way for me that, because there are some movies that I've gotten bored watching. I didn't get bored watching this, but it just wasn't. Now, I don't know what they could have done to make it better. They couldn't let them get back to Earth, because then it would have been infected the Earth.
No.
So.
Well, you could argue that the storytellers could have got you invested in the people a little deeper.
Right.
You know, the tragedy of their loss and whatever. But that really never happened. You really never did get attached to the characters. You understood that they had families and they were astronauts and, you know, they enjoyed beer and barbecues. I get that, but that was about it. It was pretty flat.
Standard astronauts fare. I think, you know, that's kind of what astronauts would do, is beer and barbecue down in Texas or whatever.
Right.
So, that was kind of their thing, and you really didn't feel for them. So, I don't know. There's probably not a lot more we need to say about this movie.
I don't think so either. As far as tech goes, you know, other than the real, I guess, tech of lunar modules, the only thing on there that was even fanciful would have been the cosmonaut's lunar module, which, for all we know, was taken from prototypes and dry. I mean, the Russians never did land on the moon, but that doesn't mean they weren't designing, you know, lunar modules. So if somebody got their hands on those plans, that the cosmonaut lunar module may have been a real design. So there wasn't like anything science-y, fiction-y as far as technology. The only thing that was science fiction-y in here was alien bugs on the moon.
Bugs. Now we are back to Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Or Ender's Game.
That too. At least there they, you know, they killed the bugs here, you know, the bugs
killed us.
Basically, or killed them. And if they ever, you know, if God forbid a, you know, meteor should ever strike the moon and particles go flying off and land on the, you know, Earth here, we may be screwed, but I think we're probably okay. So.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it'll be the whole War of the Worlds thing. If these lunar bugs land on Earth, the germs will kill them, right?
So are you proposing an Apollo 18 part 2?
Yeah, there we go.
No, let's not.
No, yeah, really.
Right. Well, I think we've kind of beat this one to death. So, you know, that wraps up this episode of Sci-Fi Tech Talk. You can check us out at scifitechtalk.com, where there's plenty of cool space junk available for purchase. Or follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Tech Talk. Or if you have any ideas or comments, please send them to scifitechtalk@gmail.com. And reviews on iTunes are always welcome. Julie, where can people find out about all the endeavors that you're currently doing?
Yeah, and I am currently doing endeavors, aren't I? Yeah, I can be found on Twitter at Julie Kuehl, JulieKuehl. And links to the other blogs, podcasts, and whatever else I've got going on can be found at about.me/Julie Kuehl. And between now and the middle of June, if you really want to follow along with what I'm up to, check out my blog over at juliekuehl.com. I'm actually in Omaha for a school for web development, and so if you want to follow along in that little adventure, juliekuehl.com is the place to do that.
Yeah, and I can be found on Twitter at DSC Chipman, and I have an about.me page at about.me/Mike McPeak. That's McPeek. That's it for this episode, and we'll see you in the future. Quirky matter. It's the Sci-Fi Tech Talk.